Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It was a wild week starting Thursday. Steelers and the Carolina Panthers. A lot of football. Joy, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I've got kids, and I noticed this very early when my son was 6, 7 years old. You give him like a Snickers bar, and I saw the sugar high. And he'd just be running around the house going 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm chasing him, and he's breaking stuff and breaking glasses, breaking vases, and so there was no more Snickers. And then after about an hour of that, he would have a crash, and he would be in a bad mood, and he'd be feisty when he was 6 or 7 years old, and he'd be crying, and I'm like, we got to get sugar out of the house. This morning, Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones were on a sugar high, and it always ends with a crash. Last night's a disaster for the Cowboys. Yes, when they have a lead. Yes, when Zeke is running wild. Yes, when they play a depleted defense. Yes, they look pretty good. Dak fools you. Rushed for over 170 yards. Averaged over 6 yards a rush. Had the ball for 33 minutes. Yes, Dak. Dak can look really good when he's got the formula. Never forget, Tim Tebow won 6 straight. Great defense, great running game, great kicker, score in the teens. There are formulas. Average quarterbacks who you don't want to pay a lot need a formula to win. Dak needs Zeke to run wild. He needs the offense to be controlling the clock. He needs 2nd and 4, 3rd and 1 for the play action to work. He needs to play with the lead. The weather has to be better than average or at least not chaotic. And he's got to have his defense playing well so he doesn't get in a shootout. Yes, that's when Dak can win. That's how Tebow won 6 straight games. How Mark Sanchez got to the AFC Championship twice. But franchise quarterbacks that you want to pay $150 million don't need a formula. They just need the ball and a little help. Okay, because you're going to get in shootouts in this league. If you got Dak for the next 5 years, Steelers, Patriots, Rams, Chiefs, Chargers. You're watching those teams this year. The rules are all going offense. All of them. And I love Dallas's front 7 defensively. I love their players. They're really, really good. But those players, the Bears players, all the great defenses in the league can't stop anybody now. Once you face a great quarterback, right now Dallas is on a sugar high because the formula was perfect. It's amazing how often. I understand fans getting fooled. But is Jerry Jones being fooled by this? I mean, Andy Dalton, when he had the defense, when he had all the good receivers, when he won a bunch of games, won a division. Baker Mayfield yesterday, only threw 20 times, played with a lead, played a bad defense, had a great running support. Yes, a lot of guys in this league can win when the formula is perfect. Carson Wentz last night didn't have a Pro Bowl right tackle. Smallwood's their best running back. Jordan Matthews is a go-to receiver. He just got cut by the Patriots, and their defensive secondary is a nightmare, so he's playing from behind the whole game, and the Cowboys linebackers are much better athletes than the running backs behind them. That's what a franchise quarterback looks like. Carson Wentz last night playing from behind with a beat-up defense, not getting support from his own line. That's what a franchise quarterback looks like, even though he lost. But I saw this with Oklahoma City. Westbrook wins the MVP. Sugar high, sign him to a long-term deal. Then you're left with Westbrook. This is what the Buffalo Bills do every September when their quarterback plays well. Sign him to a long-term contract. Yeah, then you're left with Ryan Fitzpatrick with an expensive long-term contract. The sugar high is always followed by a crash. It's always followed by a crash. And the gap last night between Wentz and Dak is huge. Give Dak playing from behind. Give Dak Smallwood. Give Dak Jordan Matthews. Give Dak a secondary like Philly's. If you go to Dak Prescott's career, he's had about 10 like nights or afternoons. We've gone, wow, franchise guy. And all 10, it's been the same formula. It's not shootouts. No, it's Zeke is controlling the clock. Zeke's running for 125 yards. 2nd and 4, 3rd and 1. Go look at his great games. Look at his great passer ratings. Zeke's having a game. Zeke's controlling the clock. The play-action pass works. But all last night really did, if you're a Cowboy fan, all it did is guarantee that Jerry Jones flew back to Dallas on his private jet with Stephen Jones and the whole family, and he was telling everybody, "Oh, I told you, Dak's the guy. Just out-dueled Carson Wentz. Went to Philadelphia, beat a rival. Dak Prescott's our guy." Nah, he needs a formula. Last night, the formula was perfect. Carson Wentz was the only quarterback on that field you want to spend over $100 million on. Let me shift gears to this. Now, I did say on Friday, I don't do this very much, and there are micro topics on this show, small ones, and macro topics, big one. I would call micro topics predicting games. Macro topics, how does that affect the season and the franchise? I predicted on Friday, Eagle blowout. On a micro level, I was wrong. But on a macro level, I told you after the Super Bowl with Philadelphia, they're going to come back. And I see this time and time again. I call it the lottery winner syndrome in sports. When people who are not used to wealth, not used to celebrity, not used to having an unending stream of parades and cash, get it? They don't know what to do with it. Jacksonville, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, Philadelphia Eagles, they're not used to getting to Super Bowls. They're not used to getting to Super Bowls, and they're not used to winning Super Bowls. And once they win Super Bowls, they're flexing. They're flexing on social media. They're writing books. They're getting endorsements. They're getting shoe deals. And Philadelphia off a bye. That was it. You saw it last night. And since you're not used to winning, Philadelphia, this is how it works. You're now 21st in the NFL in points with Carson Wentz. Here's how it works. You win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl, and you lose a couple of really good assistants and a couple of maybe coordinators. Oh, yeah, ask New England. They have. So you lost Frank Wright, Don DeFilippo. Yeah. So you lose a couple of assistants, really good coaches. They leave. Uh-oh. And then you lose a couple of players. Somebody overpays for your Super Bowl players. And then you have a first-place schedule, and you become a target, and you kind of lose your edge. Players don't work out quite as hard in the offseason. And what you get is this. 4-5, headed to the Superdome to take on the Saints. Good luck with that. When cities and franchises that aren't used to winning big suddenly win big, it's the lottery syndrome. Oh, crap. Do I buy 4 homes or 5? Do I buy another sports car, a third boat, more skis, jet skis? And then you wake up one morning and you're like, ooh, I blew it. New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, they're used to winning. Andy Reid wins every year. Drew Brees. You just don't see the roller coasters with those teams and those players. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's been winning. You know, he was winning on the bench with Favre, and he's winning now. Aaron Rodgers doesn't give you this, and Brady doesn't give you this, and Andy Reid doesn't give you this, because they're used to winning. Somebody told me this years ago. It may have been Trent Dilfer had a line. He said, everybody in athletics treats losing the same. They get pissed and they work twice as hard. But everybody does not act the same after winning. Winning's different. Winning gives you attention. Winning gives you money. Winning gives you endorsements. Everybody wants a selfie. Everybody wants an autograph. And some people can't handle it. And when you haven't won and you suddenly are the talk of the town, oh my, you're buying a third boat, a 16th pair of shoes, another suit, and you don't wear the ones you have. Last night, I thought I was wrong on a micro level. I thought Philly off a bye. Here we go. Nah, here we go. Jacksonville gave themselves a nickname, Saxonville. They were good for an hour. New England doesn't have a nickname. Pittsburgh, they're just the Steelers. They're not the Saxonville Steelers. They're just the Steelers, and they're just the Patriots, and he's just Andy Reid, and he's He's not storming Drew Brees. It's just Drew Brees, and that's how winners do it. They're used to winning. They don't need jet skis to make them happy. By the way, more bad news for the Philadelphia Eagles. Really, really bad news. An excellent player for them, Ronald Darby, a cornerback. Not like the Eagles haven't had enough secondary injuries. It's unbelievable. He's out for the season, torn ACL. 4-5, headed to the Superdome. I'm just going to go with my gut feeling on this. It won't be super.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
New England lost and was really manhandled by the Titans up front. This was fairly predictable. I have two thoughts on this. Once in a while, let's start with the first one. Every year, there's somebody the Patriots have beaten up on for years, or there's a Patriot connection, and they come out and just get punched in the forehead. Last year, Miami, Monday Night Football, they come out off several big wins and lay a complete egg against the Dolphin franchise. They have basically suffocated for the last 15 years. Yesterday, it's Tennessee. Malcolm Butler, they let go of. Deion Lewis, they let go of. Mike Vrabel's a former Patriot. Earlier this year, the Detroit Lions played their game of the year against them. Why would that be? Because the Lions head coach is Matt Patricia, the student. Belichick's the mentor. You see this time and time again. About every year, there's a game or two where there's somebody the Patriots have let go of, traded, released. They play with passion. There's a coaching understudy that gets a job, and they're all dialed in for that. And in the end, it never really matters because come January, New England will win their division going away. Have you checked the standings this morning? Jets lost, they're awful. Miami lost, they're awful. Buffalo won only because they're playing the Jets, they're awful. New England will have a bye and be hosting somebody in the AFC. Now, does this game perhaps mean they'll play at Pittsburgh in the playoffs? They have before and won. They'll play at Kansas City in the playoffs. I'll take my chances with Belichick and Brady against Patrick Mahomes. That part doesn't matter. But there was something yesterday that I did notice. Once again, Gronk was out, and Gronk wasn't dressed, and Gronk was inactive. And never forget that Bill Belichick wanted to trade Gronk during the offseason. Remember when Gronk admitted it, that he heard it and he knew it. They didn't want me in New England.
Yeah, it happened. And Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
Gronk admits it. They tried to get rid of me. So yesterday, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, Belichick got rid of him. So it's a big game for them. But here's what's also interesting. Gronk has one touchdown all year. Gronk can't stay healthy. And Belichick was right on Gronk, too. It's over. He's the most overpaid player on that Patriot roster, and it's not close. New England... The two moves that Belichick pushed back on, he didn't want to give up Garoppolo. Bob Kraft stepped in. We're trading Garoppolo. Tommy's my guy. The second move that Belichick wanted to make, Gronk can't stay healthy. We've got to move on. Brady stepped in. Gronk's my guy. We can't make a move. You watched this yesterday? Gronk's irrelevant. I don't even, going into games, is he playing? Is he not? Who cares? They score the same without him. Sony Michel, the rookie running back now, is more important. James White, running back, more important. Left tackle position, more important. Julian Edelman's back, more important. Frankly, Josh Gordon right now, his growth and development is more important. The two instances where the owner and the quarterback have pushed back on Belichick. Tommy was mad they let go of Malcolm Butler. He wanted to keep Gronk. Both were on display yesterday. Gronk was predictably hurt. Malcolm Butler was Malcolm Butler. After the game, Deion Lewis, a former Patriot, he was talking trash about that big win. Listen.
I didn't have to prove anything. I knew I could play. I just had to, just let our team know that these guys are beatable. So I know those guys, and I know that you be physical with them and let them have it, they'll fold. Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
Deion, you averaged 2.8 yards a carry and had 11 yards receiving. You did not kick anybody's you-know-what. Belichick's always been right. He was right on Gronk. They're paying him a fortune. Eighth most important guy. Seventh on the team. Hell, fifth on the offense. That wasn't about Deion Lewis yesterday. That wasn't about Malcolm Butler. That was about Jarrell Casey and all those dudes up front. They dominated the Patriots' offensive line. But the owner doubted Bill. And the quarterback doubted Bill. And Tennessee's gloating over Bill. Come January, one of those two teams will be playing and the other will be watching.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
And with that, a sharply dressed man. Look at him today. Greg Jennings, look at you.
You know I try.
Look at man, you look like $1 million every time. $1 million. So I said to start the show, I hear you disagree with me, is that I got kids and I learned very early with my son, don't give him a Snickers. Because for the next hour, I'm going to be chasing him around the house and then he's going to crash after an hour. He's going to be crying and be cranky. And I see this all the time, is that the Cowboys this morning are, it's a sugar high. Everything was perfect for Dak. Play with the lead, running game, time of possession, third and one, defense playing great, game in the teens. And Jerry's flying on his private jet last night saying, told you I'm right. And I'm like, okay, but I've watched this league for 40 years. The great ones win shootouts. And they play from behind. When you were with Aaron Rodgers and you're trailing by 14 entering the third, that's who I'll pay $150 million to.
Yeah, but you got to understand, this is when you go into a game, every team has a formula. Every team has their keys to their success.
Right.
And what we saw last night is the Dallas Cowboys formula. That is the key to their success. They want to get out in front. They want to stick with the run because that's their offense. That's what allows Dak.
I've done that before.
Dak. Yeah. That's what allows Dak to be more and most efficient when he's not bearing the load of that offense.
Okay. So that's the Andy Dalton, Alex Smith way.
100%.
Blake Bortles way.
Alex Smith has won a lot of games in San Francisco, Kansas City. He's doing it now with the Redskins. It's effective. Can they sustain this? I don't think they can sustain it.
Andy Dalton.
Not in the NFC. You can't sustain it in the NFC because the defenses are too good.
And by the way,
other teams are going to put up a lot of points.
Again, I'm not saying Todd Gurley doesn't help Jared Goff. I'm not saying that. But what you're telling me is that Dak's going to need a back this substantial to succeed.
What I'm saying is this is what Jerry Jones has gotten himself into. When we saw Dak Prescott and we saw Ezekiel Elliott in year one, the reason why Dak Prescott was so successful, he didn't get sacked, and he was able to hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott, and he was able to average almost 4 or 5 yards a pop.
Right.
And he wasn't asked to do above and beyond. Year two, Ezekiel Elliott is out for six. He's asked now to do above and beyond what the call of duty was coming in. Now the expectation has been set because of the year one that he had, and we want to see him progressively grow. But this is the Dallas Cowboys. This is who they are. They understand our offense goes as Ezekiel Elliott goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I just think I'm not paying $125 million for that formula.
They know that too. I don't think they will have to.
Okay, but what happens when Dak's agent comes in and says, okay, I look at all these Matt Stafford numbers. Matt Stafford doesn't have a signature win in his career. He's going to want $25 million a year. What are you going to give him?
Let me tell you something. Would you take Matthew Stafford over Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Exactly. That is not even, you can't even say, what about Matt Stafford? No, you're not Matthew Stafford, number one. Because he can come back, he can put the game on his shoulders, and he can make things happen in the fourth quarter, which he tends to do.
What do you think Dak is going to accept as a deal?
Hey, look, it's almost
he has made that franchise a lot of money.
Let me tell you something. He accepted a lot when he sided with Jerry, and he had his back. He understands Jerry has his back. He's basically taking a hometown discount.
You think he'll take a discount?
100%. If he goes anywhere else, they're not going to pay him. Who's going to pay Dak Prescott outside of the Dallas Cowboys?
Not a lot of takers there.
My point. He's best where he is.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, and that's amazing. That's the standard for the Dallas Cowboys today. Can you imagine the Lakers celebrating a Pacific Division title? The Yankees celebrating a wild card spot? Notre Dame or Alabama celebrating the Holiday Bowl? You're telling me the Dallas Cowboys are like, listen, we found a guy. I think you're right. We found a guy. He is the next Andy Dalton. You tell me that's the standard.
I mean, honestly, we're knocking Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has had a great year.
I watched yesterday. Andy Dalton lost me $50.
He did. He had a poor game yesterday. But Andy Dalton can play.
He's a better
thrower than Dak Prescott.
Whatever.
I'm not 100% sold on Dak Prescott without Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, that's fine. So I want to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. I said, and I predicted they would blow up the Cowboys this weekend. I was way off. Carson Wentz, it's funny. So they win the Super Bowl, and Lane Johnson had this quote that drove me insane.
Yes, it has.
Okay, the quote was, hey, I would rather win one Super Bowl and have fun, yeah, than win five. Well, congratulations. That's going to be it. Because I'm watching them yesterday, and off a bye, is it fair to say now? Too many books, too many endorsements, lost their edge. What did you see?
No. You will never get me to agree with you on this. And the reason why is, number one, they came into this season on crutches. Like your quarterback, your top receiver, offensive line, like you came in wounded. Even though you were on top, you won the Super Bowl, you came into this season half of what you really are. And so they've never been able to bounce back. You look at them last night, they're secondary.
It's a mess.
They're depleted.
No, and they just lost Darby for the year.
Like,
they're
are
done.
Are you kidding me? They can't win for losing right now. It's like they keep getting guys going, having guys go down. Whereas last year, guys were there to start the season. You lose Hicks, you lose Peters, you lose Carson Wentz, but they had already had it rolling. Right now, it's been a grind. And when you start off a season in a grind and you're behind the eight ball when it comes to health, it's going to be an uphill battle the entire time.
Oh, it has been. Listen, the secondary is a mess. They have to play from behind. Listen, against Carolina is a prime example. They dominate Carolina for three quarters, and then they play conservative, and Cam has his greatest quarter of the year because he had to throw. Their secondary is a mess. And they, you know, in the NFL, it's not, you don't have to be great everywhere, but you can't be in chaos anywhere. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia is in utter chaos in the secondary.
They are.
So did you ever see the TV show Friends?
I did.
Ross and Rachel.
Yep.
And here's what the Green Bay Packers have become. They've become the TV show Friends by about the 11th year. Rachel slept with everybody. Ross was wearing me out. They were still funny and drank coffee. But in the end, I'd seen everything, and there was just better shows on television. So yesterday, you had all these games on TV at the same time. And the Rams and the Seahawks, got the Raiders and the Chargers. I have the Packers and the Dolphins. And I got to be honest, they don't get me to a TV anymore. When the Steelers didn't play yesterday, it felt like less of a day. I'm watching yesterday. I watched the game with them, and I'm like, I want to see Mahomes. I want to see Breeze. I want to see Goff. There are so many compelling young quarterbacks out there, and the veterans now, like Breeze, are playing at a higher level than Aaron. This is I've seen Rachel and Ross. This is what it is. The monkeys now. Remember when the monkey came on the show? You knew the show was over on Friends. When they brought an animal on a show, the show is officially over. Green Bay's like, it's just they don't feel special anymore.
This is the problem I have with what you're saying. It's
what?
Because Aaron Rodgers has been so great in years past, we expect him to be great despite any and every situation. He's clearly not 100%. Clearly not 100%, but he has help. And what we're seeing is an Aaron Rodgers that is willing to throw the ball away more, going to set the record for throwaways this year, but it's not all bad because he's getting help. He's going down. If he feels like he's going to get sacked, he's going down. He's protecting himself. Again, I think why you're not as interested is because it's not this Aaron Rodgers show. But let me remind you, there was 2 weeks ago, they were out here in L.A., and everyone wanted to watch that game, specifically the last couple minutes. Why? Because we all wanted to see what number 12 was going to do had he gotten the opportunity to do it.
Let me remind you what happened. They lost another big TV game.
They did lose. They did lose. I understand that. But for you to say, oh, they're like friends, they're almost...
Friends was, they were still a good television show, but there were better stuff on television.
There's a lot more flashier guys right now because Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have his same mobility, his ability to run away from
defenders.
So
you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. He knows. He's not going to get out there and just say, you know what, my knee is bothering me. Just because I don't have the brace on doesn't mean I'm 100% because that's not what viewers want to hear. That's not what fans want to hear. That's when no one cares.
Well, you don't want to tell the defense that anyway.
Exactly. But, I mean, we all know it. He's not 100%, but he's able to get the job.
Is this a contending team?
As long as he's at quarterback, they have a chance. How deep they go depends on if Aaron Jones continues to do what he's doing.
It seems to me the good teams in this league are depending primarily on veteran players. The Steelers, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, DeCastro on the offensive line. Breeze. If you look at Phillip Rivers and some of their veteran players, Pouncey, the center. When I look at Green Bay, it's Aaron. And man, do they need rookie Aaron Jones to play well and this young receiver play well and that rookie corner play well. It feels like it's Aaron and there's a little bit of babysitting going on here.
I mean, but for me, I like that. I want to see other players step up because your quarterback is getting older every single year. He's injured. He's clearly not 100%. Can we get some help in the building? They're getting help. There's nothing wrong with that.
Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, top of next hour, Greg Jennings is joining us. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Chicago Bears. And I don't even know if our guys have any tape of the Bears because we're going to talk about different teams today. And I don't love the Bears' offensive personnel. I'm not a Trubisky guy.
You don't like their personnel?
Oh, you're going to tell me those running backs are great? Matt Nagy is making those running backs. What, you like Robinson, the receiver?
I do. I like Robinson alongside of Gabriel, alongside of the tight end. They have a lot of pieces that they can throw at you.
Are you sure they do?
With Cohen, absolutely.
Or Matt, they have a lot of guys.
No, they have a lot of pieces, and then they have Matt Nagy who knows how to blend those pieces together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but when I watch Trubisky, when I watch these are guys. Now, when I watch the Kansas City Chiefs, those are stars.
Oh, my God.
You don't Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill.
Sammy Watkins.
Those are stars.
I get it.
You buy Chicago.
I do buy Chicago because they're doing it and they don't have the stars. They have rope. When you watch the San Antonio Spurs, did you see a bunch of stars?
Yeah, but
you saw a lot of role players and Greg Popovich got it done, correct? That is who the Bears are right now. I shouldn't say that that's who they are because San Antonio is special.
Yeah.
But the Bears have a lot of good, solid players, and they have the most important piece.
You tell me, Matt Nagy. Trubisky is Tim Duncan?
No, not at all. I'm not saying
that's what you're saying.
No, I did not say who was who. I didn't say Khalil Mack is the Tim Duncan.
Trubisky is Manu at 37. I mean, I don't know. Here's what's interesting about the NFC. We came into this year and our feeling was NFC is packed. I got Washington leading a division. I got Chicago leading a division.
That should tell you something. That last year we sat here and I watched the Bears play the Packers last year, and I watched their interior alignment. They were solidified on both sides of the line, interior wise, offensive line, defensive line. Their issue was quarterback skill positions.
Yes,
on both sides, they've gotten that. They've had great play defensively in the secondary. They've had even better play offensively in their skill positions. What's wrong with this Bears team just being good?
No, I mean, listen, I'll probably have them in my top 10 tomorrow. I'm not saying they're not good. I love their defensive front. But one of the things that's happened in football that you can't deny anymore, and it's just the way it is, the quarterback is still the most important piece. The second most important piece in football now is the play caller. Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid is not this good. There's no way he's this good.
I'm not going to disagree with that. And because the scoring in this league is just gone through the roof.
Look at Andrew Luck now with Frank Reich.
I'm glad you mentioned that because everybody, again, going back to Eagles, you have a Carson Wentz who had 2 years with Frank Reich and his quarterback coach.
They're gone.
So that's another reason why the Eagles look. But yes, Andrew Luck with Frank Reich, it makes a difference. Sean Payton, Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like Nagy is doing about 65-70% of the work with Trubisky.
And he should. And he should be because when you look at Patrick Mahomes and Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, come on. Not close.
No, exactly.
Boom.
Skill level.
Boom.
Completely separated by skill level. But where they can draw closer is the play caller. You got one guy who's been tutored by that guy, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy.
I look at the division leaders in the AFC. I get Andy Reid and the Chiefs. You look at the Chargers. I get the Steelers. I get the Patriots. The Houston Texans got stars everywhere. I look at the NFC. I got Washington. I got Chicago. I'm like, it's a bunch of meh.
So you think that the AFC teams are a lot more put together?
Think about it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Standards are a thing that you got to keep high standards. I have a lot of people in my family that were in the restaurant business, culinary business. And you ever go to a restaurant for years and years, you like it. And then the chef leaves. They don't pay him enough money, and the chef leaves. And you go to it a couple times, not quite as good. And then you go to it a couple more times, it's not quite as good. And then you stop going to the restaurant. Well, you lost me as a customer. The restaurant, the day they lowered their standards and went cheap and didn't pay for the top chef is the day it was over. Not the year and a half later when you've lost 35% of your customer base, the more discerning eaters. Now, you lost it the day you decided to go cheap. To me, the Dallas Cowboys are not going to be a relevant football team for the next 10 years because they've lowered their standards. They're excited about this morning. That's it. That you won against a depleted Philadelphia team. You won when the formula was perfect for Dak Prescott. Controlled the clock, 6 yards a rush, Zeke ran the ball, your defense suffocated Carson Wentz. You've been to 8 Super Bowls, you've won 5. Staubach, Aikman, Jimmy Johnson, Landry, Parcells, Jason Garrett, you're fine with. It doesn't matter what you did last night. I live in Los Angeles. The same thing's happening here. USC football now is 5-5. And there are people actually discussing whether or not to get rid of the coach and the staff. Are you kidding me? You can't beat Cal at home? I mean, you've already lost your program. It's over. Once you decide to go cheap, once you are okay with average, you've lost. The rest of it's just, it's just shrapnel. I mean, it just doesn't really matter. I mean, Dak Prescott is 20th in passer rating. This is, by the way, with a great back, with a way above average offensive line, and with a defense that's good enough to give you decent field position. 20th passer rating, 22nd completion percentage, 28th in yards per game, 25th in yards per attempt, and tied for 22nd in touchdown passes with Sam Darnold, who didn't play yesterday. Right now, you're a 10 seed in the NFC, and Cowboy fans are celebrating. Where are the standards? Like, this is the Dallas Cowboys. And because you won a game against a depleted team, and the formula was perfect to win, you played with the lead, your running backs were crushing, and Zeke was amazing, and you controlled the clock, and you played ahead, that's your standard.
But it is Philadelphia. I told you, this is a division game. And it's a must-win. It was a must-win game for them.
But I'm hearing Cowboy fans, like, they're like popping corks today.
No, there's no reason to celebrate. You should, if you are a good football team, be able to go on the road and win a division game.
Would seriously, does Duke celebrate getting into the second round of the tournament? Does Alabama celebrate winning the Citrus Bowl?
Well, it depends on how you define success.
Well, again, when your standard's here and you let it slightly erode and slightly erode and slightly erode and the restaurant buys cheaper bread and doesn't get the freshest produce and the second-rate fish and all of a sudden you wake up and you're like a year and a half later, a third of your crowd is gone. Now, you lost it the day you made a decision and the owner of the restaurant were going to go cheap. Your standards, we're going to lower our standards. That is largely, if you look at football in America, the difference between the haves and have-nots, standards. Brady Hoke did not accomplish enough to ever get the Michigan job. Jim Harbaugh, the day you hired him, you raised the standards of Michigan football. He had been to a Super Bowl. Brady Hoke had not proven he was worthy of a Michigan. The day you hired him, we're lowering our standards. They hired Jim Harbaugh. We are now raising our standards. Like, I'm sorry, but that win for Dallas, you have not beaten a team with a winning record. You're 4-5. Popping corks today? What happened to Dallas?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, every Monday at this time, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
The Raiders haven't scored a touchdown in 9 quarters. And they scored 6 points off a bye. Okay, 10 days to prepare, 6 points. I never bought into John Gruden. I think he's a fantastic television analyst, and I always thought he was a solid coach, not spectacular. He's had 12 quarterbacks in his career. One has popped, Rich Gannon. If I had 12 shows and one was decent, it's probably due to the guests I had, not to me. Why we keep giving Gruden all this love for inheriting Tony Dungy's defense and beating a team in the Super Bowl that he had coached and knew the playbook a year earlier, I don't get it. This team's a mess. I keep hearing he's an offensive genius. Derek Carr has badly regressed. And the guys they drafted, offensive guys, I don't see stars.
Where Colin was wrong.
My Blazing Five was trash. 1 win, 3 losses, and a tie, and I was lucky to get to that. First of all, I deserve total scorn. I picked Andy Dalton over Drew Brees. Shame on me. I guaranteed Philadelphia would win. Shame on me. Now, I am 29, 19, and 2 on the year, so we have a very good record. It was our first losing week of the year. Thank God for Andrew Luck, and thank God for the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson played his butt off and kept it close. But a disgusting week of betting by me.
Where Colin was right.
Andrew Luck, for the first time in his career, has an offensive coach and has a good offensive line. And what do you know? He is tearing it up. Yesterday, the Colts, who don't have 6 guys who would start for the Jaguars outside a quarterback, beat Jacksonville. Andrew Luck, you got to give Chris Ballard, the GM, credit. He hired the right coach. He has rebuilt this offensive line in 2 years. He still has a below-average receiving core. He still has below-average running backs, and that defense is the pass rush they did have in the first month has totally evaporated. But he does have protection up front. I do like their offensive line. That's a top 15, top 12 offensive line, and Luck is putting up massive numbers. For the first time in his career, Andrew Luck has 2 things: health and help. And I still contend they will make a wild card spot.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, this Todd Bowles thing in New York, it is a dumpster fire. And I feel bad for these young, talented defensive coaches, Steve Wilks and Todd Bowles. They're like the flip phone of communication. No creativity, no juice, no energy. Listen, it looked like the Jets quit. Half the stadium emptied out. It's not Sam Darnold, folks. The GM needs to go as well. They have no offensive talent. I've never seen a team. They don't have an elite receiver. They don't have an elite back. They have a tight end who should be a 2 or a 3 on a team like the Colts. They just don't have any players. Now, they do have a great safety. Leonard Williams is good. Bowles has done a nice job on the defensive end and special teams. But, you know, it just doesn't work. When your stadium's emptying out, when your team quits, the game is so unfair to young defensive coaches. Matt Nagy, the game is built for him. Todd Bowles, the game is not built for him. You got to go get somebody to help Sam Darnold, or you'll become the Colts. You're going to waste 3 or 4 years with Andrew Luck and get him hurt.
Where Colin was right.
According to the New York Times, the Houston Rockets are already 10 games into the year bailing on Carmelo Anthony. I've never in my career been more right on a topic than Carmelo. I never bought into him. I don't think he's a good teammate. I don't think he's coachable. He has a bizarre, delusional belief on what he is and what he really is. There's never a day I bought into him. And do you know what a grease fire you have to be 10 days into a deal and an organization like, we just got to get you out of the room. They're now sitting him. They don't want to let him. They won't let him dress for games. This has been, I like Daryl Morey. I didn't like this move. Not many of us like this move. And Carmelo is what he's always been, just not a good guy in the room. And now his skills have regressed so badly, they don't even want him in the room.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said before the season, I thought the Big Ten was closing the gap on the SEC. I am wrong. The gap is still tremendous. Northwestern has already clinched a spot in the Big Ten championship game. Okay, Northwestern was winless out of conference. They lost to Akron. They lost to Duke. Okay, they couldn't win a game out of conference. They played Notre Dame and got rolled. This team's going to be in the Big Ten championship game. I've watched Northwestern play a half dozen times. They have a great coaching staff and I think one marginal NFL player. I thought the gap was going to close. Ohio State's a mess. Michigan State can't throw the football. Outside of Michigan's defense, which is really, really, really good, this conference, I mean, I watched Big Ten football this weekend. I felt like I was in 1988.
Where Colin was right.
I've said this now. Everybody's in on the celebrations for the NFL, and I know why they did it. I get it. They want the social media love. But yesterday, second quarter, close game, Tyreek Hill goes into the stands, gets a penalty, goofing off with the camera. Players need to be coached. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile. I know everybody loves this. All the progressives on social media think this is so...
That was great.
Oh, it's great, except for it's the second quarter and got a penalty. And again, at the end of the game, it's fine, you don't care. But ask Andy Reid what he thought about this. Players need to be coached.
You gotta get, let the fans have a little fun. It's hard to score touchdowns and Chiefs roll them.
15-yard penalty because you can't, like a grown-up, hand the ball. Go spike it. It's okay to spike it.
You gotta admit that's creative.
I hate it. In the middle of a game, second quarter.
Well, yeah, that's when you score touchdowns, is in the middle of the game.
Everybody on Twitter, oh, this is awesome. Never forget, Twitter, Donald Trump wouldn't get a vote. Soccer's bigger than the NFL. The NBA is overtaking the NFL. Remember, on Twitter, who's popular and who's really popular are two different things.
I didn't take to Twitter over this, but I thought it was funny.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mitch Trubisky, in a game this year, threw 6 touchdown passes, and yesterday threw 4. I don't get it. Everybody loves Sean McVay. Matt Nagy may be the greatest coach in the history of the league. I don't know how they're doing this. I mean, you're telling me the league is so offensive that Mitch Trubisky can light it up. You know, I mean, I got to give the kid credit. I just didn't see it. I thought he was listen, he started 1 year in college. He couldn't win a job his junior year of college. I just didn't see it at all. I remember being in Hawaii with my family. I said, I'm going to stand and watch Mitch Trubisky play because everybody's telling me he could go number one. And I watched the game in college at Carolina. I'm like, I'm not sure he starts for half the ACC. That's it. And he is lighting it up. Congrats to Mitch Trubisky.
Where Colin was right.
I told you, Sam Darnold's going to leave USC, and you're going to see what USC football is right now. They can't score. They can't win at home. They can't beat mediocre teams at home. They can't move the ball. They can't run. They can't throw. They're now 5-5, and that's 5-5 in the Pac-12. which as a conference isn't even in the same class right now as the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC. 5-5 in the Pac-12 is awful. This is a conference that didn't win a bowl game last year, did they? I mean, you can say what you want about Sam Darnold. When's the last time USC couldn't run the football and couldn't score? How about we start with never? They are a mess since Sam Darnold left.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, in the last month, Baker Mayfield 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he's had to deal with some coaching chaos. You got to give Baker Mayfield some credit. Listen, always said, if you give him the right components, you give him a running game, give him a little protection, he is an accurate thrower of the football. That's why I said, as much as he drives me crazy, he'll never be a bust. Now, I think his ceiling is much more. Remember, Case Keenum won 13 games with the Vikings. When you give Case Keenum the perfect situation, a running game, good receivers, Case Keenum won 13 games. But I got to give Baker credit. He made a really nice play yesterday, scrambling out of the pocket and threw a dime down the field. Deserves credit. And in the last month, he's gotten rid of, he's gotten rid of some of the silliness and the nonsense. Again, he's too cocky for me. Not my cup of tea. I think things have to be aligned perfectly, and Atlanta's defense is trash, but he does deserve credit.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said before the season in the NFL, bet the overs. Matt Barkley yesterday got a team into the 40s. Two teams this week scored in the 50s, Big Ben and the Steelers and Drew Brees. The Bears, mostly with B and C players and Mitch Trubisky, are scoring 30 regularly. We've got 5 teams now. Think about this, averaging 30 points. 5 teams and 4 others really close. I really felt coming into the year that the NFL, by flipping the catch rule, ask yourself this, how many times did you watch a play yesterday and there was a nebulous catch and they allowed the catch? There was one in the Philadelphia game with Nelson Aguilar. The NFL has decided, when in doubt, give them the catch. And that is not a little thing. That has resulted in a lot more touchdowns than field goals and extended drives and tired defenses. We said before the year, watch all these numbers in offense go through the roof with the catch rule being flipped. It has. I saw it yesterday 6 or 7 times. There's anything that's in doubt now, just give him a catch. And for the record, I'm for it. Football is better with more offense, not less.